Hello, you are listening to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode number 73 of the Nintendo Switch UK podcast. I'm Al, and no, wait, hold on, we've got no mic. Anton, where's Mike gone?
I am Michael McDermott of Our Songwriter on Twitter. I am Anton. You know, it really feels like the parents are gone this episode. You know, this is when we get to throw a party, vandalize, kind of noise complaints. It's going to be a wild episode, I think, Al.
I know. We're going to do a jigsaw. We're going to do a jigsaw, man.
Oh, it's that...
throwing caution to the wind.
It's that seasonal James May one we had to order from Kickstarter. It's going to be brilliant.
No, unfortunately, we have no Mike this week, but it's for a lovely, lovely reason. Mike has become a daddy. So we knew this was coming, but we just want to say congratulations to him and his whole family. I think I'm probably okay to say that his son, Gabe, is with us in the world. If he doesn't want me to say that, he can cut it out. And yes, he's a very cute little chap. He is very healthy. Whole family is happy and healthy and it's all good. So just congratulations to Mike. And we will just, we'll try and do this podcast in his absence and hope that we don't entirely destroy it and lose all the listeners, Anton.
Yeah, you know, I'm gutted. I was kind of excited to have a screaming child on the podcast and be the, officially from that point onwards, be the non-youngest person on the podcast. But I guess that's going to have to wait.
It will happen. We'll see if we get him on for a last call at some point with a screaming child in the background. That'd be funny.
Absolutely. And talking about screaming, let's do some screaming about the Patreon, because that seems to be a good little wee trend of ours. I do like chatting about that. It works out quite nicely.
It does. The Discord this week has just been on fire. People have been talking constantly on it. My phone hasn't stopped pinging with notifications. It's great, albeit I've been quite quiet because I've been up to my eyes. But what a great little community it is on there.
Yeah, you know, at first it was like kind of a case of, you know, we would, like, it was quieter and, you know, we would share some stuff on there and it was like, oh, have you seen XYZ? And then people would be like, oh, that's cool. Now it's the point, people are just sharing stuff. It's like, you know what? I never knew I needed a £35 Switch grip, but I guess I'm ordering it now. It's just eating away my savings.
Yeah, I think we're in trouble. I think we're making a lot of people spend a lot of money. But you know, I think when Mike's not here, I think we should take an opportunity to thank some of the patrons, because we've been meaning to do this and we keep forgetting to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, so,
if man, you permit evil me, Mike not mentioning the Patreon. Despicable.
Just blame his Alzheimer's or something like that, I'm sure. But no, I'm going to run through a little list. This isn't all the patrons, and I think next week we'll try and do some more, because I think we want to start thanking everybody on a regular basis. So just a quick little shout out to Robin, to iDave, to Matt, to Carrie, to Moxie, to name but a few. If you're one on that list, don't worry, we will shout about you in the future as well.
Yes,
but we just want to say that we love you. Yes,
and
we do.
While we're in the spirit of sharing the love, we had once again a lovely review this week. It was from on iTunes, of course. If you haven't left us a review, we would greatly appreciate it. It's from Wurzel80, 5-star.
Great name, by the way.
Of course, yes. We've had some really good iTunes names. Like, for iTunes, I think because nobody really sees it, people have the greatest names.
They do. They're great.
So, thank you for doing podcasts. I've been looking for something to do while playing games over lockdown. Definitely going to listen after lockdown as well. Keep up the good work. Which, I'm so glad people are listening.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Thank you very much for picking us up. And yeah, I hope you do continue to listen to the show, because frankly, makes us very happy.
Yeah, and,
for the people who support us on Patreon, we're happy. People who just listen to the show, we're still happy. We're just happy people.
And, you know, if we didn't have people listening, we would just be crazy people on Zoom. Which, you know, it's a great look. Admittedly, we would still be doing it. I don't see that going away.
Well, we'd be shouting it into the Ethernet, like everyone else out there. There's just a lot of people crazy shouting into the internet, and we'd be more of those people.
We would scream into the Ethernet cable and see how it goes. But talking about screaming, I don't know if this would be screaming. You've been playing video games, and you know, exciting one nonetheless that you paid £17 for in import taxes. Was it worth it, Mr. Alistair?
I finally opened the wonderful 101 and I've been playing it. And apparently I'm rubbish at video games. So it's got a normal setting, an easy setting, and like a super easy setting. I started doing it on normal, got to about the second or third level, kept dying repeatedly, went, nope, put it back onto easy. Haven't gone to super easy, went to easy. And even then, I've still died quite a few times and was slightly ticked off when I got to about the end of the third or the fourth level. Thought, yep, okay, did it right there. And the sort of narrator of the game came on and I went, I was expecting better of you, I'm very disappointed. I thought, that's not fair, I'm trying my hardest. But it's really good. It's a good, really good port. It's very slick, it's very polished. It's chaotic, and it did take me a wee while to figure out exactly what the controls were, because the description of them wasn't the clearest, let's put it that way. But now I've got my head wrapped around it and beginning to get into the groove of it, I'm really enjoying it, and it's very funny.
Fantastic to hear that, you know. That's always been the thing that's had me on the fence about One for One, and I do own it on the Wii U, and I never got around to it, and obviously we're onto the Switch now. I kind of looked at the gameplay, I'm like, what's going on? What's happening here?
Yeah, it is chaotic, and it's not, I mean, it's described, but it's described quickly, and if you're not paying attention, then you zip through it. I'm actually quite glad I went back and started again on an easier setting, because I got to go through the tutorial again and actually pick up all the stuff I missed the first time around.
I'm so bad for that. I just button mash through the tutorial and then I'm like, actually, now I know what I don't know. Which is everything, it would appear.
Exactly. So what about you? What have you been playing this week?
Oh, dear. I'm so sorry to endure you to this. I've been doing more Animal Crossing because apparently that's my life now, which is weird with being this still, as I've commonly mentioned, my first Animal Crossing, which is weird that I invest so much time into it. And literally just terraforming. I made a nice lovely garden. I went collect bugs. I bought an entire bridge, which was so expensive. And I basically got to the point of just digging up fossils and then selling dinosaurs to some little children. And they pay well, which that's Animal Crossing for you.
Where do they get the money from?
wonderful question.
I'm intrigued. Right, you bought a bridge.
Yes.
Where are you putting your bridge? Is your bridge going over water, or is your bridge just in the middle of an island for fun, like that American who bought the London Bridge a couple hundred years ago?
I wish I could just place islands sporadically. Animal Crossing is quite hand-holding in its terraforming. There's a lot of stuff where you're like, oh, I could do this, and then Animal Crossing is like, nah, we're not letting you. They clearly tried to make it as idiot-proof as possible, but at some point you're just like, oh, I want to have like a bridge going over like my fire pit. And they're like, nope, you can't have Death Bridge. You can't do that. And it's a sad groan for me, but that's been the main one. I really wanted to try out some new indie games, but the time, where does it go?
Tell me about it, buddy. Tell me about it. This week has just been insane. But while we've been ridiculously busy, apparently so has the games industry. There's been a lot of stuff happening. So we have, as Mike would say, a lot of stuff to talk about this week.
Tell us.
Let's jump into our first game. So Billy Goat Entertainment, have announced Supermarket Shriek is coming to Nintendo Switch in 2020. What is Supermarket Shriek, Anton?
Did you ever... we've mentioned the vagueness of the show multiple times already. We're only like 50 minutes in. Have you ever seen that episode of Top Gear where they're driving like old hot hatches around supermarkets?
Yes, I do remember that episode, actually. So... what, it's that?
Yeah, it's like that, but you're in carts, you're crashing into everything. It's a kart racer, but literally in carts. It looks kind of groovy. I think the fact that they aren't going for go-karts, kind of makes it a little bit less generic than a lot of the kart racers we get now.
Well, yeah, I mean, we get a lot of kart racers. This was more like a kind of a top-down kind of racer, isn't it, from what I've seen?
Yeah, kind of like isometric. It's 3D, but you aren't behind the car.
Yeah, it looks interesting. It's been kicking around for a while on other platforms. I think it came out last year, from what I've managed to piece together on Tinterwebs. And it gets pretty well reviewed. I mean, it's like 75, 85 kind of level. It's not earth-shattering, but apparently it's quite good fun. Surprisingly good fun, in fact.
Oh, delightful. Yeah, I'm... you know, this is one where I think a healthy sale, good price would get me through the door. Or you just need to kind of be invited over to a friend who's picked it up. Because it does have that kind of, you know, it's a kart racer, but it kind of has like an overcooked, chaotic mess about it, which I'm kind of into. I'm optimistic here.
That's quite a good description, actually. Overcooked chaoticness. That's kind of baked into the description, baked into what it looks like. I hadn't even thought about that when I was watching it earlier on, but that is the perfect description. Overcooked meets shopping cart, go-kart.
Yeah, you know, if Castlevania can become like one of the clear verbiage of the gaming industry, then Overcooked Chaoticness can become that too.
Absolutely. Shall we move on to our next game?
Absolutely.
So I'm going to guess it's pronounced Dotemu. If not, correct me. Dotemu announces YS Origins for Nintendo Switch. It appears to be more combat-focused than the original classic franchise. Do you want to tell me a bit about this one?
Yeah, you know, surprisingly, the Dotemu was the bit you got right. Ease Origins.
Origins, not YS then.
Yeah, I wouldn't usually correct you, but I know a lot of Ease fans get very panicky about the pronunciation there.
That's okay, people who shout at me, I don't mind.
Yeah, that's send it in the Ravens. or send the Ravens. I think the notes in the Ravens would be the least of our worries. But nevertheless, you know, classic RPG franchise, but the combat in this game is really bizarre. It reminds me of when we kind of started getting platformers on the PSP and they kind of, you know, there were 2D games, but they were kind of moving around 3D worlds, like 3D tracks. So it's like the maps are like on a kind of circular ring. You have like a big boss or an enemy in the middle, and you're kind of rotating around them to kind of fight them. It's a really bizarre premise. I'm not too sure how to feel about this one, where I've not really seen anything like it. But obviously, it's a .emu have done, or .emu. Nevertheless, they're
I've
good
thrown
team.
You now, haven't I?
Yeah, I'm like, what was it? What's the original pronunciation?
Well, I mean, the fact that you've not seen anything like this before, that's a good thing. That means we've actually got a little bit of creativity happening in games. A little bit of people thinking outside the box, to use a horrible phrase, and coming up with something potentially new. I like this.
Yeah, you know, it sounds so bad. The closest thing I can compare this to is Sonic Rivals on the PSP, which is a very niche reference for some people. But if you've played that game, you know exactly what I'm on about, where you're just moving around 3D. It's a 3D world on a 2D plane. And I would love to give this one a go. I'm scared with it being such an established franchise, they might charge a little bit more for something that, to be honest, looks a teensy bit ugly. I don't know about yourself, I'm not in love with the aesthetics of this one.
No, but if it's an interesting game, I think we can probably forgive it. The question is, though, what format you might buy it in? Because I think at the moment it's just coming on digital, but in America, limited-run games are doing two physical editions. Don't they do a standard and a standard and a collector's edition or something?
Yeah, it's a true big-boy collector's edition. It's a huge box with, like, the full... Like, to be honest, I looked at the size of the box and, like, just, like, the massive promotional image that just basically had, like, a whole toy room full of Ease Origins promotional materials. And I was like, I can't afford that. And I didn't even look into the details. But knowing limited-run games, that will certainly be the holy grail for a fair few collections.
Indeed. And let's not forget, I think Ease 9, Monstrum Knock. Off the top of, I think off the top of my head, it's on my screen. It's coming later next year. So yeah, there's tons of Ease games coming, which will hopefully make a lot of people very happy. I will need to learn a bit more about them.
Yeah, you know, it's a franchise that was dormant for so long. Like, I remember in the late 2000s, like 2007, people were talking about it, like, yeah, it was an old TurboGrafx game that they kept just like, it went nowhere. And now, like, I think they had a couple of entries in the PSP, and now they're big, and the Ease 9 looks like this big, fantastic Dragon Quest-esque epic. It's crazy to see how it's growing, but I'm excited to see we've got another kind of long-running franchise on it.
Yeah, keep them coming. Next question for you. WWE, how much do you know about wrestling, Anton?
I know The Rock, who we have talked about many times on our Last Call podcast on Patreon. He has came up a couple times there. That's my understanding of WWE. It's like an incubator program for Hollywood movie stars. I think I'm wrong there.
Just a little bit. To be fair, I know very little about it because I was never into wrestling. But at least I can name Hulk Hogan, I can name The Undertaker. I think that's who he's called. Anyway, there's a new WWE game coming from, I'm guessing it must be from 2K, because it's called WWE 2K Battlegrounds. It's coming to Nintendo Switch on the 18th of September. And as much as I'm not a wrestling fan, this game looks brilliant.
Oh, and you know, I'm glad you feel that way. You know, it's literally like they took wrestlers, they got some oily men, and I think they've got some girls in WWE. I don't think they're the focus, sadly, though. And then they've gave them bobbleheads and then put them in the NBA Jam. Which, that?
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
That is. I mean, you cannot think of a better way of sort of presenting sports to me via talk. It's got to be comedy. It's got to have bobbleheads. It's got to be over the top. And it just looks so much fun.
Yeah. And I think what's fantastic about this is the last couple of WWE games, especially on the Switch, have been fairly awful, to put them lightly. Like, some of the worst stuff the Switch has seen. And I think this more lighthearted, charming take on the franchise could be a good, like, breath of fresh air, which I'm excited for fans of WWE because, you know, it's more of the game. It's another alternative, which is fantastic.
Kind of reminds me of simpler days, back when you played wrestling games on sort of the original PS1 or even the SNES, where it was a bit of a button masher, but it didn't take itself seriously. It wasn't complicated. You weren't trying to do ridiculous combos to do stupid stuff. It was just fun. And this kind of seems to hark back to those days.
Yeah, you know, I think WWE games and wrestling in general, for, you know, ever since we got into like the HD era, they just felt like slow fighting games and kind of clunky. So I think this being a little bit more carefree, silly, bobbleheads, you know, some quicker gameplay, you know, will be a lot more appealing to a lot of people, because looking at some of the newer ones, especially the ones that we've had on Switch, they're just clunky. And this is the complete opposite of it, which is delightful.
Exactly. Right, moving on. The Superhot team have announced a new version, I suppose, a new edition of Superhot. Do you want to tell me a bit about it?
Indeed. So they've announced Superhot Mind Control Delete. You know, if you've maybe originally heard of it, they were planning it as an expansion, but it's blown up into a full game, which I find every time that happens, you just get your money's worth. I know they're doing it with the Hollow Knight, but nevertheless, they haven't shared what exactly is new of it, but it does look to be a more expansive, flashier, and kind of more polished version of the original title, which I don't know, are you familiar with it, Al?
I'm familiar in as much as I remember it being released. I've never actually played it, but I feel you did, didn't you?
Indeed. I originally was like part of the closed alpha for a bit, and then like the game came out, fell in love with it, picked it up in VR, and the whole premise of the game is time moves when you move. So if you move very slowly, time moves slowly. If you move very quickly, time moves fast. You very often maybe have like a gun with one or two bullets, and then you're in the middle of a crossfire, and you just have to find out how to slowly move around, pick up a bottle, throw it across the bar, pick a gun out of the air while it flies past. If you've got a sword, you could cut the bullets in mid-air, and then you get to see it in like fast motion, and it's like the most enthralling thing. If you love the idea of like Matrix, Neo, like bullet time, you'll love this game. It's honestly, like, it's a portal must play, I think, in my opinion.
That does sound really, really cool. So I'm kind of picturing me dying a lot. Is it one of those games where you die a lot and you sort of keep trying over and over again, or is it actually quite smart?
You know, I think if you got chucked in at the deep end, yes, but I find it kind of slowly layers in the mechanics at a fairly good rate, where the difficulty curve starts you off nice and easy, anybody can do it. And it takes you to levels where you're like, how am I even doing this? Am I even a human? What is this? But if this sounds up to you, they've announced the date for Steam, but they've said it's going to come to Nintendo Switch after that, which that's some true indie dev talk. You know, it's like, yeah, once we're done this version, we'll do the other one. We'll start.
It is indeed. But the interesting thing about this, though, is if you already own a copy of this game, it's free. So if you buy it new, this is a new game, it's going to cost you $24.99, whatever that's going to work out in pounds. But if you have an original copy of the game, and you can still go and buy one up to the point when this is released on something like the 16th of July, which is 4 days from the day we're recording. If you go and buy it before then, you will get a free copy of this game as the inverted commas DLC. If you buy the Switch version, they will give you a DRM-free Steam code. They won't give you the Switch sequel to it because it's not out on Switch yet. So there you go.
I own this game now. How delightful. Expect my review next episode. Oh,
that's and you're a user of Steam games as well, so you're sorted.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomised genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off. The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out the Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
That's generally that's made my day. I'm so excited now. I need to play that. But talking about not excitement, you know, I don't know if you saw Alistair, they're doing a surprise Nintendo Tree Live Live this week. They're going to have a brand new game from WayForward Games. What could it be?
Oh, I wonder. I'm so excited. What could it be?
Could it be Wario? That seems like something they could do.
Could be Wario. Could be. But no, it's not.
It's
Bakugan.
Bakugan, champion.
If that's how you pronounce it.
Of Sir Ron. Yeah, this one. The internet wasn't happy.
The internet was not happy, were they? No.
Yeah, you know, they showed off Paper Mario, which is fantastic, and we've got some stuff we'll say about Paper Mario later in the episode. You know, I think whether or not you love or hate this game, the unveiling was awful. They shouldn't have done it. Nintendo really needs to learn how to weigh kind of expectations, as the Pokemon event kind of indicates. But outside of the context, Al, watching the trailer, how did you feel about it?
In all honesty, a little bit meh, but I've never really watched the animes, because I mean, this is basically based on a whole anime world, and toys, actually, for that matter. I think the whole franchise is owned by Spin Master and somebody else, I forget who. So it's very much centred on kids, toys, pushing anime, pushing cartoons. So, I mean, it's unlikely to be an amazing game, is my kind of gut reaction straight away. Watching it, it kind of just made me think, well, it's Pokemon, but not Pokemon.
Mm. Yeah, I wasn't originally aware of the anime, but it is very much, you know, you're battling monsters against another human who controls a monster. And when I was watching this, I was like, I wish it was Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh! So I presume for people who are a fan of Bakugan, they would love it. I love the premise of it, just controlling a battle, and I would be curious to see how the control input is, but I think there would need to be a degree of knowledge about the monsters, but, you know, WayForward Games, they do the Shantae games, so they're a fantastic team. So, you know, I have a feeling this could be a good sleeper hit, kind of like a Dragon Ball kind of one of those sort of games where, you know, niche audience, but under the surface there's a good game, maybe?
Well, I mean, that would be really nice. Let's hope that's actually what happens, because I suspect, like a lot of the internet, I was just a bit disappointed and instantly put up my defences. Let's put it that way. It may turn out to be a fantastic game. It would be wonderful if it was. But there are a lot of battling games out there. There's a lot of ones where you bring out, insert animal here and do a battle and then see who wins and carry on. I mean, I think it's basically that mechanic from what I've gathered. But I could be wrong. Did you see we're getting a classic, or basically another classic, coming to the Arcade Archives?
Indeed, we have the wonderful, glorious, from our good friends at Namco, Gradius. Hopefully that's Namco, otherwise I'm going to seem like a fool.
I think it's Konami off the top of my head, but don't quote me on that.
I am unprofessional, but nonetheless, a true classic. I'm excited to... I'll be honest, I'll never buy it, but it's good to have it there.
Well, now, see, that's interesting, because I'm kind of the same. I'm pleased it's there, but I'll never buy it. I mean, I was never a big fan of Gradius in the first place. I had nothing against it. It was fine,
yeah.
But I've kind of moved on to my gaming since then. And there's already a Gradius available on, I think, on something like the SNES Online. NES or SNES Online. I'm pretty sure it's there already. But this is the original version of it, which is now coming as part of the Arcade Archives. It's not a bad thing, but I don't think either of us are particularly excited by its announcement, are we?
Yeah, you know, I always say this quite often on our Roundup Patreon podcast, where I would love it if they just completed a bunch of these archives, even if it was like a £40 box, you got 40 games. Obviously, not quite the same profit margins compared to the £7 per game or £6.49 per game that they do now. But a bundle of one kind would be appreciated in future. But I imagine for the few, well, not the few, but the many Gradius fans there are, they'll be snapping this up in an instance, no question asked.
I reckon so.
Yes.
In other news, EVO 2020. I believe that's not happening anymore.
Yeah, so if you're not familiar, EVO 20... or all of them, in fact, are kind of classic, historic, super competitive fighting game tournaments. You know, they do Smash, Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat. Third party of all the organizations and companies that make these games, unlike the likes of the Fortnite and Call of Duty tournaments. So completely independent. Smash has a strong presence there because Nintendo doesn't put any money into esports, which is ironic because I thought they would after the original Switch trailer from 2017 where they had the big stadiums of Splatoon. That's a topic for another day. But this one, which was planned to be a digital event, has been cancelled. We won't go into the nitty-gritty of the details, but basically the founder has been kind of forced out of the company due to some very scathing allegations of abuse. Nintendo has given a statement and basically been like, this is deeply disturbing, which I think we can all relate to.
I think it's certainly how we'd feel about it all if we ever came across whatever it is he's been accused of, and who knows what the story is, but yeah, if there's accusations, the guy's been pushed out, then it all sounds a bit unpleasant, I think. So no more Evo 2020, I guess.
Yeah, it's a shame because obviously Evo has tons of staff and, you know, they've all put in their effort, but hopefully with 2021, you know, they'd already see the knock with having to kind of move to digital, but hopefully in 2021, new leadership, they can kind of come back in full strength and we can finally see who's the best Smash.
It'll be fascinating to see what comes out of that.
But on lighter news, actually, this is I don't know if you would say this is lighter. What would you say?
It amuses me, if nothing else. Carry on. I'll let you tell the story.
Over in a Japanese eShop, we kind of had this new game, which was called Final Sword, which, you know, it looked like a kind of Zelda game made in an MMO, in all honesty. It was a bit ugly, a bit rough. It was a port of a mobile game. But you can no longer get that from the Japanese eShop because they stole the music from The Legend of Zelda. I believe it's Ocarina of Time.
How did they think they were going to get away with that? Really?
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, there's one fact of using Zelda in a YouTube video. That's pretty bad, especially if it's Nintendo on it. Using it in an Android app. Oh, that's treading on strong water. Releasing your game with stolen Zelda / Nintendo music on a Nintendo platform. Oh.
I mean, you kind of wonder, was that deliberate or is it sheer incompetence?
Yeah, it's... Again, this, it really shows how bad Nintendo is at quality assurance. Because it's, you listen to it, it isn't like it was like a miscellaneous forgotten tune. It was like, you listen to it and you're like, yeah, that's a Zelda tune right there. You recognize it, you're like, yeah, that's N64 era. You get it. And so the fact that Nintendo staff proof checking this game didn't catch that either is like, dear, quality assurance.
Exactly. Well, while we're on the topic of quality assurance, let's skip the next item, come back to it, and move on to, let's talk about Don't Get Caught, shall we?
Yeah, we are a very PC family-friendly podcast.
So you're very careful the way we cover this one.
This was a game about doing things that should not be done with other people.
Shouldn't be done publicly.
Publicly. A very mature sense. I'm surprised even the trailer got on YouTube when I checked it out, because that was a very startling surprise. And it's been taken, like, it got taken down like immediately after like news covered it, because it was released like, oh, there it is. The thumbnail for it was not great, and all the news clearly went to share for it. But do you think this is an overreach of censorship, or do you think it should have been taken down?
Oh, come on. A game about doing things that one should not do in public should not be on a Nintendo store. Because, I mean, Nintendo pride themselves on being a family-friendly platform. It's part of their whole selling point, is that, yeah, we're the family-friendly place, and okay, you can buy 18-rated games, but they're clearly rated as 18, blah, 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 blah. But the fact that you could just go onto the eShop, find this slightly distasteful game, and then watch the trailer, which was fairly graphic, shall we say, and was available to any kids to go and watch, was just unnecessary, and Nintendo definitely dropping the ball on their e-store vetting, I think. And I mean, the game's gone, nobody can buy it. I suspect anyone who did buy it is probably now sitting on something that's worth quite a lot of money.
Yeah, you know, it's It's such an odd one. If you've got the trait, if you're of an age to go give it a look, it is a funny trailer.
I
was watching it. I was like,
very creepy.
Yeah, I was sitting there. I'm like, I shouldn't laugh, but it's just so cheesy and over the top in its appeal. But I think good riddance.
Absolutely,
that's not my Nintendo.
No, I think the general message from the community is Nintendo, pull your socks up. Let's jump back to the last item we just skipped over, the new SNES and NES Online games releases. So we've got Donkey Kong Country, Natsume Championship Wrestling, and Immortal. Three pretty good games there.
Indeed, and if you've got access to the Japanese Super Famicom store, which you can download with a Japanese account and then play with an English Nintendo Switch Online account, you do get the first ever Shimigansei Tensei game, which is the kind of overarching franchise, which includes games like Persona, Catherine, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So, very established franchise.
Ah, I didn't realize it was actually in the same universe. I knew it was Atlus, but I hadn't actually clocked it.
It's crazy because this is the first Shimigansei Tensei game, which covers majority of Atlus's games. But this Shimigansei Tensei game is also part of the Mimigami Tensei games, which is
I'm going cross-eyed, Anton.
It's a true Kingdom Hearts of confusion with mixed to high to low levels of interconnectedness. But nonetheless, this is possibly one of the best updates to the NES Online since we've had it, in my opinion.
I'm inclined to agree with you. If nothing else, just because Donkey Kong Country. I mean, that was a cracking game.
it makes me wonder why we haven't had it up to now. I wonder if it was tied up in Rare or if there was some confusion in that regard, because, playing this one getting added to the collection, it was like, where was it all this time? And I'm so glad to kind of see it there. They uploaded a video on the YouTube channel of Nintendo, like sharing some cheats of how to get through it. So I think Nintendo may have been worried about difficulty, but it looks good, and I really hope they bring 2 and 3 in the coming monthly updates. Or I guess it's not really monthly, whenever they feel like it updates.
Yeah, they used to be quite regular. It feels like they aren't anymore, but they probably are. I'm probably just not actually realising that time is passing in the normal fashion because, well, the world is not normal at the moment. But yeah, I'm going to say I'm really chuffed with that. Actually, your point about the game potentially being tied up with Rare maybe is a thing. It's actually a great point. I hadn't thought about it, but yeah, it was a Rare title, which means that we might get more Rare titles, and we might, if we ever get an N64 online, get some Rare games, maybe? I'm probably being far too optimistic.
You know, I still have my heart out in there that one day the dream would be get the Rare Replay Collection on the Switch. Microsoft
please.
Knows it would sell. They've got Minecraft, they've got Ori, they've got Cuphead on the Switch. Just even if they gave us like Rare Replay Lite and you have to get the full version on the Xbox, that would be fine. I only want like anything before 2000, basically.
I would be, see if they released that. I would never need to buy another game again. I would just be in my element if they released it. Not good news for Nintendo. They shouldn't say that because then they won't ever release it. But I can live in hope. moving on, Paper Mario, the Origami King. We got some leaks this week, Anton.
Indeed, and you can find it. You know, Nintendo with the banhammer, you may need to do a little bit of a rummage around the internet, but there's a lot of images, gameplay footage, of the kind of late game content, where the story goes. So if you're planning to pick it up, definitely stay clear of spoilers, because they're out there in the wild now, which this is the worst. Like, games getting leaked before then, like, it's fine like when the game's out and you're like super excited for it and you're like, all right, I can just take the day off, I can just get through it, and then I don't have to worry about spoilers. But now it's out there in the wild, sadly.
It is, but I think unless you actually go really looking for it, you're unlikely to stumble across it these days. Fingers crossed. Unless you want to, in which case, go feel free to ruin your game.
Yeah, go
That's
for it.
That's pretty much my advice to you. Yeah. If we move on, Crysis.
Yeah.
It's still coming.
Yeah, so if you're not familiar with the saga, game gets announced. Trailer gets leaked, everybody hates trailer, Crytek delays game, but not for the Switch, which, I think maybe the theory of it getting massively disliked was, for a lot of people, they were theorizing that the Switch was holding it back, like the other versions were, they just, like, it looks great for a Switch game. Like, it looks really good, but it doesn't look like cutting edge what you would expect at the late era of the PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And sadly, the fact that we're still getting it on Switch on July 23rd, I feel like that confirms the rumor that the Switch was holding back the other versions, which is, I think, a first. I don't think we've seen that sort of... It was designed for the Switch and then we built up...
See, I'm not sure interpreting it that way. I think it might be, we've managed to get it this far and it looks fine on the Switch, so let's bung it out on the Switch and we're going to keep working on it to make it look good on the other consoles, but they just require more work because they're further and less skilled, they've got more horsepower, and to make a game look good just takes more effort. That's kind of how I've interpreted this.
I guess, it could totally be the inverse where they're kind of like, I guess it's...
We can get away with it on the Switch.
Yeah. I think either way, it's kind of an admission of we've kind of tapped out all we could get from the Switch, which for us is fantastic. That means we're getting the best experience possible. I'm going to be curious to see kind of what they showed running on, I think it was a PS4 or PC or something before, what's basically the Switch version now. After they work on it for a while, the newer version of Crisis Remastered is going to be like, what? How much of a gap there's going to be? Because, you know, it wasn't like they delayed it 6 months. They delayed it like a couple of weeks, was it? Like they were...
Something like that. It wasn't a huge amount.
Yeah, so there's only so much you can do. I think they're just going to shoot a better trailer, in all honesty. Maybe give you some CGI kind of movies to go along with it.
Well, it'll be interesting to see whether we get an Outer Worlds or if we get a Witcher. I mean, it's going to be... very interesting to see once they get the other consoles versions out and you can do comparison side by side just to see what the difference is. And if there is indeed a big difference or not, who knows? Time will tell.
Indeed. And it's also going to be interesting because we've discussed in the past where there's been a couple games where we've been like, yeah, they've delayed the Switch version so it doesn't affect the review scores of the other ones. It's going to be interesting to see how that works the inverse way where we're for once getting a AAA game first. Which, you know, 2020 is a wild year, so this is, what can we say?
Exactly. We got a whole load of release news this week as well, because Devolver did an online, which was hilarious.
Yeah, they did one of their annual E3 directs, minus the E3 and more direct. And yeah, super chaotic. Suda 51 was there. They showed off 2 seconds of No More Heroes 3. What a Suda 51 thing to do. Actually, before that, so you've given it a wee look and you've seen the production cells, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. And it amused me greatly. It did not take itself seriously in the slightest.
Yeah, it's like the ultimate parody of conferences. And, the production value in some areas and the gore and the blood... you could pay good money to see that in cinema. Like, it was a really well done production all through.
It was well worth watching. I mean, I sort of skipped through bits of it just because I didn't have 45 minutes to watch the whole thing. But it was really, really well done. The script was hilarious. The actors were great. I mean, I presume they're all actors. It was, it was interesting. But there were some interesting games that were also actually in the middle of this entertainment. So do you want to take us through them?
Indeed. So they got the head of Phil Spencer to talk to a big floating demon person as an interview. Head of Xbox, of course, unveiled Karen. No, that's not how you pronounce
Carrion.
That. Like Carrion.
Yeah. Carrion, as in dead meat, basically.
Which is it's a horror game coming to Nintendo Switch. Appropriate use of a Phil Spencer. It's not really horror. It's gruesome, but horror Phil. And he plays an anthropomorphic blob, which I don't know about yourself. The gameplay looks super fresh and interesting.
It did. It looked... I've never actually thought about a game where you play it from the monster's point of view. I'm sure there must be other games out there. But this looked kind of cool, creeping around and lurking and taking control of people to, I don't know, make them shoot their colleagues while then blobbing around the corner and eating a bunch of folk. It was kind of different and cool.
Yeah, and, I think, whenever there's been a game about playing a blob, it's you're kind of a bouncy Kirby ball, basically, with no feet, and you lump along the levels. This one, you're gloopy, you're kind of sleeping into all of the kind of crevices of a room.
You have tendrils. Yeah, I mean, that's all you need to know. You've got tendrils.
it just looks so bizarre, and I'm really excited to give this one a go. Just playing as something that's not humanoid. It just seems so exciting to me. Because even as a local Roco, where you're a blob, but you're squishy and you bounce along, you're moving left to right. This one, you're like slime moving through the levels. It looks so cool.
You squelch your way through a level. That's pretty much exactly how you describe it. And it's actually the art style that was interesting too, because it was sort of somewhere between 8 and 16-bit, I would kind of say. Probably closer to 8-bit. Side-scrolling platform, but it's the first side-scrolling platform in a long time. I thought that looks different. I want to see more of this.
Yeah, the graphics were simplistic. It's almost like what you thought Super Metroid looked like as a kid. Like, you know, when you go back to Super Metroid, you're like, actually, this isn't as dark and as moody as I thought it was as a kid. This is what
that's
this
a
game
great
is.
Description.
Oh,
yeah,
my
yeah, that's fantastic. Absolutely on the nose. Good job.
talking about their next announcement, they had Mr. My Uncle Works for Nintendo, which we all have an uncle that works for Nintendo and Xbox Live. He gave us a bunch of news, such as Tom Nook has been audited, Yoshi's having a divorce, and Oluja, a pixel-based samurai game, is coming to the Switch. This one, you know, am I correct in saying you like samurais, or am I just throwing words at you?
No, I do love ninjas and samurais and all things Japanese, but I have to say the game did not grab me for some reason.
Yeah, you know, it's a shame. It kind of reminds me of Avatar, in the fact where it's a fairly solid, it's so far away from Avatar, I'm so sorry, but
it is a million miles away from Avatar.
Where it's such a polished, refined project, and it amounts to just a bleh at the end. Like, I was looking at him like, this looks good, but there's nothing exceptional. Like, I didn't see something that was, like, if Carrion just had you as, basically a kind of 2D human shooting, then it would have just been a generic game, but it had the kind of your blob, anthropomorphic blob creature that kind of was like, oh, I've never seen that.
It had a hook.
Didn't have anything, which is a true shame.
Well, that's exactly what I felt about it. It was a true shame. But, I mean, it might turn out to be an amazing game. A lot of these games that I think look bleh, people rave about, they're the best things in sliced bread. So we might both be wrong, Anton. This might turn into a massive hit. They certainly look like some sort of very fast mechanics, but at the same time, very controllable. I mean, the character was zipping around the screen, doing all sort of samurai moves, and I don't know, just being... I say sneaky. It was more ninja than samurai, but it was clearly supposed to be a samurai. Just odd. Odd, yeah. But let's wait and see what comes out of it.
Proven wrong in its next Cuphead. But, you know, outside of that, the event was fairly good. I still recommend, you know, yet having very light... to be honest, you know, usually watching these in the past, they've been crammed, filled with announcements. This one was so light in announcements, I think they just wanted to make a fun, chaotic show. So I'd recommend watching it. They also had Jeff Keighley as the architect of Devolver Land, which will be a theme park, apparently. Shoji Ishida, which is the head of PlayStation Studios. And Bennett Fonde of Getting Over It, which is a delightful little game if you've never played it before. but shall we shuffle on? Oh, sorry.
Well, there was one game that I was really disappointed they announced isn't on Switch. Did you look at Fall Guys?
Yeah, that was the one that Shoji Ishida unveiled, and that one looked good. That was
It was basically take Mario Party and the mini game concept, and then put it into something like Fortnite, where it sort of started off with 100 and narrowed into 1. That's basically the concept of the game. Party games, but start with 100 and narrowed into 1, and it just looked fun and chaotic and online and hilarious, and I wanted to play it so badly. And then it came up saying it was on the PlayStation and Steam, and I was like, where's the Switch? It's not like it couldn't run on the Switch.
Yeah,
it was a fairly simplistic ish looking game.
It has the identical Human Fall Flat or Gang Beasts, like your kind of blobby Play-Doh-y men that are kind of stumbling all over, which such a simplistic art style. And I find it funny, when I was watching the event, I put it in the scripts because I just presumed it would come to Switch. And then it didn't.
I know. I don't know what they're playing at. Give us Fall Guys. We want it.
Yeah,
that's all I have to say on the matter.
You know, if we ever did t-shirts, that's something. Is it coming to Switch?
we'll turn into Mug one day for Mug Club. It'll be fine.
Hint, hint. But nevertheless, we have a new indie corner from our good friend Leon.
Are these newfangled things any good?
Superliminal is a first-person puzzle game developed by Pillowcastle and released on the Switch this past week. The game's tagline is "Perception is reality," and that explains the game perfectly. The mechanics all utilise forced perspective. For example, you can pick up a regularly sized chess piece, hold it up to the right perspective, and drop down a giant one. You start the game watching a TV advert for the Somnisculpt Dream Therapy program late at night. Close your eyes, and next thing you know, you're in the program itself. Using the various mechanics, you go from room to room, deep in your own psyche, guided by the AI voice of the orientation program, and pre-recorded messages from the Scottish doctor who runs the course. And I'm happy to report the accent is real and doesn't sound like Groundskeeper Willie for once. I don't want to go into too much detail about the narrative because I think it's best experienced without too much prior knowledge, but I will say that I thought it was great and fit really well with the gameplay. I saw a tech demo of this game probably about 6 years ago and I was sold, but what I didn't expect was for it to have such a good narrative. It doesn't feel like it was just tacked on as a vehicle for this cool mechanic. The story informs the mechanic. I promise I'm not trying to compare every single game to Portal, but the developers themselves have stated it as an influence in this case, so you can give me a break this time, guys. Superliminal has definitely taken inspiration from how the Portal puzzles are structured. They haven't over-explained the mechanics or left you so confused you start throwing things around the room, not that I've ever done that. You get plenty of little epiphanies when you figure things out yourself, and they're constantly introducing new and exciting variations on the core mechanics. It goes a lot further than the basic forced perspective trick. When you start to think you've seen it all, they introduce some trompe l'oeil illusions that come to life when viewed from the right angle, and from there, even more variations to this mechanic. Of the many I've played and talked about at great lengths, Superliminal has to be my new favourite in the Portal-style game genre. The game is funny, but it's not trying overly hard to be a comedy. It's personal, you can really get a sense of the developers' personalities, and they've filled this game with tiny details that I think can make or break a game. And you guys may have noticed by now, I tend to judge a developer on these tiny details, and Pillowcastle definitely gets a pass. Superliminal combines lots of aspects I love. Puzzles, surrealism, humour, physics. I'd say it's somewhere between the Stanley Parable and Portal, and also an entirely different thing altogether. The only thing I'd ask for would be more of this game. It's a fairly short title, and I think there's so much more they could do with this mechanic. I'd love to see a sequel to really expand on what they've started. After waiting so long to see this game finished, I'd say it was well worth the wait. It's definitely a yes from me.
And there we go. Done. Oh,
wow.
I was going to take a note when that was, but I don't know when it was.
You know, I find it funny when I've got Leona on Facebook, and I saw that they mentioned a post about Superliminal. They had a link to their YouTube channel, Leona Levels. Recommend checking out where they do a full-length review if you're more interested. And I was so excited by the fact they're talking about Superliminal that I didn't even read the post. I'm like, I'm so excited to hear your review. But, this is a game I've been waiting for a while, and I feel so bad that I haven't actually gone to it yet. How are you feeling about it as somebody who's less sitting on the chomping bit to pick it up?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't falling over myself to go and buy it. And to be honest, I'm not entirely sure if I still am. Mm. I remember when they first announced it, we all thought it looked really intriguing. It was a really cool take on a puzzle game using perspective. And I mean, now that I've heard Leona's review of it, and I actually watched her YouTube video on it as well, so I actually saw exactly what she's talking about. And it's worth going and checking that out, actually, just so you can see a bit of the game and see what she's saying. But the game itself intrigues me, but at the same time I think I would get annoyed because I'm not great at puzzlers. I know she said that the difficulty wasn't too bad. It was sort of judged somewhere between difficult and easy. It was quite well balanced, but I think I'd probably get annoyed. Although, having said that, the controls of it did look pretty intuitive. It looked pretty simple, and just not necessarily the way my brain works. What about you?
Sadly a little bit busy games-wise, but as soon as I've got a free window or it goes on sale, whichever happens first, I'm jumping right on it. I see so many games come along and they're like, we're the next Portal, and there never are. And this one actually looks like it's came out the other end with some good maintenance bones. Like, you get a lot of these games where it's like they show off one mechanic and then that's it. But at least as of what Leona's saying, and you know, good taste, we should have a lot more there, and it should keep me busy for a while, which I'm just excited. I think it looks super cool.
Indeed. Well, go check out our full video. It's on Leona Levels at YouTube, so you'll find it on there. Rumors.
That was a slick transition. Look at us.
That was a very slick transition. Yes, who needs Mike? We don't need Mike. This is less of a rumor than the first one, but did you see that a copy of the original Super Mario Brothers on the NES sold at auction this week?
Oh, for presumably house prices, I would say. Am I correct?
$114,000. You know, I mean, I can't remember what the last copy sold for. It wasn't that long ago, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't that stupid. It was high, but $114,000. Wow.
Yeah, you know, I understand if you maybe want to invest and buy, like, a Patek Philippe. And, you know, it's a lovely watch, and you can pass it down to your children beyond generations. It's a timepiece. It's, you know, it's your everlasting, because you've got this watch that you've passed on to your grandchildren. I feel like if you passed on to, like, your grandchildren a copy of Mario, they would be like, what is this? Am I meant to play this?
Exactly. Yeah, they won't even nest. Yeah, they won't want to play it in.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sure it's probably... Someone has probably made a very good investment, but, that's insane.
Now, I'm not normally one for gossip, but...
Yeah. What you could pass on to them, though, is a physical copy of Untitled Goose.
You know, I'm so excited for this, because it has such a simplistic art style. It's going to look so goofy on a shelf. I'm in love with this. It was leaked earlier this week on the Amazon Germany store, and it's coming out on September 22nd. If it's true, but Amazon's fairly reliable with their leaks.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, if something's listening to Amazon, we pretty much guarantee it's going to be coming soon. So I'm kind of cool. I'm looking forward to this. I've not actually played Untitled Goose Game yet. I really want to. And I mean, I could go and buy it digitally, but I'm kind of tempted to get the physical copy.
Yeah, you know, with how big this game was at launch, I kind of expected it to have a physical copy by now. I was like, you know, when an indie game just blows up like that, you're like, yeah, this is physical copy material. And I had that feeling with this game, and I'm so glad it's coming to Intuition, because that bet hasn't paid off with Cuphead yet, and I still want to play it, but I still feel like they're going to do a physical copy.
yeah, absolutely.
But on a small side note there, you know, I'm breaking the rules here. This is what happens when Mike is gone. As part of this leak of Amazon Germany, they announced a PlayStation 5 game, a long-running franchise, for €70, you'll be able to buy Skyrim on PlayStation 5. Can you believe it?
Dear Lord.
€70.
Seriously, that is an insane price for a game that is how many years old now?
Yeah, and especially the fact, you know, I believe before European... So, we've saw this controversy with some other stuff where basically games look to be bumping up £10 going into the next generation. The ports of old games should be the cheaper version. That should be like your budget, maybe £50 game with, you know, you're getting your new games for
budget £50.
I just wanted to share that leak because I haven't seen it being getting shared around much. So feel free to exert your disgust and then be happy with our like £50 Switch games.
That is eye-watering. Well, in other news, Yacht Club Games, they have been posting for job listings again for a 3D project. But we don't know what it is that right?
We don't know what it is, but so they're looking for 3D. They're looking to build up their 3D team to work on a 3D project at Yacht Club Games. The only games we've had of them are exclusively like 5 Shovel Knights and then 1 Samurai Ninja game, which was really fantastic in all fairness. So
what are you thinking here? We're thinking like a 3D Shovel Knight or something entirely different?
That's what I'm thinking. You know,
that could be interesting.
Like, we did on Rumours, maybe one of the late 60s ones, we did mention that they did express interest in doing a 3D Shovel Knight. You know, they've done the Shovel Knight Amiibos, they've done 5 other Shovel Knights, and Shovel Knight was in Yooka-Laylee. So, you know, it's clearly thought about how Shovel Knight would be in 3D, and this is when they announced something with unrelated to Shovel Knight and we're all disappointed.
Yeah, well, given the fact that that's the way every single announcement seems to be going at the moment, let's not hold our breath, shall we?
Yeah, but nonetheless, let's hope, because it's I don't recall any kind of indie game franchises going from 2 to 3D. And I think Shovel Knight would be an exciting franchise to kind of watch that out, because we've had 5 2D games. I think we've got a good eye for what that's like, so it'd be nice to see something a little bit new. But again, let's not get our hopes up.
Indeed. Well, talking about new, or actually this one isn't really new actually, but Square Enix has filed new trademarks for, I'm going to guess it's pronounced Live Alive. It's literally Live, capital A, Live, in Europe and Australia, which from my memory was an old RPG, circa like 94, 95, something like that.
Indeed, it was on, well, being Japan, the Super Famicom, you know, during the golden age of what would have been Squaresoft RPGs, so, you know, right in the midst of your Chrono Triggers, your kind of late your Final Fantasy 4 and 5s, and even 6 at that point. You know, very classic RPG. I don't know too much about it, because it is a Japanese-only title that I was lost to time, but I would be excited, because this is, like, at least for myself, like the era where RPGs were just, even if you weren't an RPG fan, it was like quintessential, this is what a good RPG's like.
Yeah, it's interesting that they sort of, I'm not going to say they've lost the art of making RPGs, but RPGs, when they translated into the world of 3D, sort of lost something. I mean, they gained a lot of things at the same time. Don't get me wrong, Breath of the Wild, still an amazing, amazing game. But there was something about those simple sort of isometric, or even top, well, not really top down, but isometric RPGs from that era, they enthralled you. There was something just incredibly likable and deep, but accessible. But I think, yeah, that seems to have fallen by the wayside. They're not as cute as they used to be.
Yeah, I think at the time there was like, you know, there's limitations to showing these big, massive worlds and complex battles and all that sort of stuff. So they kind of, they found ways of sneaking around it. You weren't on the front lines of this huge battle. You were sneaking around it, the barracks, trying to kind of weasel your way into all the shops where you can do all the things that you need to do. Now, when we got the technology to show these bigger, more world-scale battles, it kind of lost that kind of charm where it was less left up to the imagination. Like, I remember playing Lunar for the first time, and it's like, it felt like a huge world. And now when you play a similar sort of RPG, they kind of just show you, like, yeah, there's a big battle here, and you're there. And it just kind of, you know, however big they can make it with that 2D pixel-based art style and scrolling and spanning and whatever it would be, it's never as big as you imagine as a kid. Which I don't know if age comes into it, but
you know what? Maybe there's a huge element of nostalgia here as well.
Very true.
Well, in other news, we had a Nintendo shareholder briefing this week where Shintaro Furukawa, the president, and Ko Shiota, who I think is the head of Nintendo's hardware development, correct me if I'm wrong, were asked about the next generation of the Switch. And effectively, they kind of dodged the question. They didn't really say much at all. But what they did kind of say was alluding to the fact that the next version of the Switch, its successor, will pretty much keep hold of all the same multiplaying kind of tropes, I guess, the Switch has. It will be portable, it will have multiple controllers. Basically, the reason people like the Switch will keep doing all that same stuff for their next one, because it works. But they didn't really even say that. They just dodged the question while alluding to that.
Yeah, that it was the pinnacle of flowery corporate speak, the whole thing. Even the question was like, why hasn't the Switch been more portable and independent or something like that? And then all of a sudden they're like, the Switch is completely, and basically they were like, the Switch works because we have, it can be done both ways, we'll be carrying this on to the next console, which I think, yeah, it's just such basically we're getting a Switch 2. And I think this hints that we're not getting a Switch Pro. I think the Switch Pro is maybe dead in the water. I think with how well the Switch is going, do you think the Switch Pro ever existed, or do you think it's just been the rumour mill chugging away?
My suspicion is it probably did exist, and it might actually still exist somewhere in development, but it might get tweaked into a whole new console. But the very fact that the processor that's in the current generation of it is capable of so much more, and they brought out sort of obviously the revised battery version of the current one, and makes me think that there probably is a Pro, and they may yet release a Pro anyway, because they could probably make a bit of money. But I suspect most of the development will then get focused onto Switch 2 or whatever they end up calling it. That's just kind of my gut feeling on the matter.
Yeah, I think, I feel like it did exist, but somewhere along the way, Nintendo, whether it was due to the Switch Lite getting launched or just the ever-growing sales, were like, actually, you know what, let's not split the user base. And it's, you know, I think Nintendo having the cheap budget console that you can buy for regardless, and especially now that it doesn't really have any competition, this is just prime, just keep it alive as long as possible. Like, they did that with the Game Boy. The Game Boy was, like, outside of the color, you know, the Game Boy lived up until the Game Boy Advance. So it had a long life because, yet there was competition, nobody was able to kill it. I feel like we'll get a price cut maybe this time next year. I think the rumored price of the Xbox lock cart will be some true competition, but that's a... wild theories there. I won't go into that.
Yeah, we should pick this up in the last call.
Indeed.
It's an interesting topic, but when you start talking about other consoles and comparisons, yeah, let's save that for the last call, I reckon.
Yeah, indeed.
Moving on, we've got, I think, two more items to go, and Tomb Raider is the next one that's up. Tell me about Tomb Raider, Anton.
Yeah, so Game Rant, which appears to be a somewhat long-running game journalist website, has shared what looks to be a very well done poster for a Tomb Raider The Ultimate Experience. It's here to be a poster. It has Switch logos as well as the other kind of adjacent consoles of the moment. It has a tagline/slogan, relive Lara's greatest adventures in one ultimate collection. Got the release date of August 27th. And it has on the artwork, it has kind of images from Tomb Raider Anniversary from, I believe, 2005. That was the kind of, as part of the second/first reboot, Angel of Darkness, and Lara Croft in The Guardian of Light. So basically everything up until the most recent reboot. How do you feel about this collection? Do you think it's real?
That sounds pretty cool. Well, good question. I can believe it could be real. It would make a lot of sense. The fact that the only thing we have to go on is a poster does make me a little bit sceptical, though. Because why would they have ended up with a poster of all things? I think that's the weakest point in this whole rumour, is the fact that it's been based off a poster. But if we got them, they'd be cool. I mean, the old Tomb Raider games, back in the olden days, they were great. But now I'm going to contradict myself. They were great. If you go back and play them now, I wonder if they still are great. We've moved on a long way since then. And they were kind of clunky even for the time.
Yeah, it's... The thing is, so basically it's got, we've got one Tomb Raider Anniversary, which was part of the first reboot, and Guardian of Light. So Guardian of Light was like a late Xbox One, Xbox 360 and PS3 title. You know, I could imagine like Tomb Raider 1 to 5, even if you threw in Angel of Darkness, that seems very doable. Those are very simplistic games. I have Tomb Raider for the original, the Nokia N-Gage. Not a hard game to run. Once we start getting like Tomb Raider Underworld, which was like a cutting-edge, kind of expansive action-adventure game from like 08, that sounds like something they could split off and sell for 30, 40 pounds. Even though we would complain it's 40 pounds, but they could get away with that. Even if it was like the modern trilogy, they could get away with that. So it seems like too good to be true almost.
Well, I have a funny feeling it probably is too good to be true. I will be surprised if we get it, but I guess pleasantly surprised if we get it. Last item of the day, we've got some new SKUs have been spotted on GameStop's internal database.
Indeed. So we've got about four of them. Usually this historically has happened before Nintendo Direct, where we get a big load of new SKUs. There is a rumour of a July event. I know we've kind of stopped talking so much unless there's really heavy rumours, because we've had a rumour it's happening every month apparently. But we do have the SKUs here. Four games. You know,
They look like the AAAs because they've all got prices beside them. And the prices, I think, are all $59.99, which would suggest that they're four AAA games, which might be coming our way.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I guess we could have Breath of the Wild 2, maybe a Metroid, something Metroid-related.
Probably one or two Marios in there. And we were still expecting the Mario reboots because we were pretty much told we were getting them.
Of course. I completely erased that from my memory. Oh, here we are. Breath of the Wild, Mario All-Stars 3D, 3D World Deluxe, and then one mystery
Galaxy
game.
1 and 2. Galaxy. It's the best of Mario Galaxy. Let's just put our money down and say that's what we think is going to be, and we'll see what happens.
All righty.
And I think that's all of our news and rumours done, so let's move on to the quiz.
I have so many questions.
Indeed, time for us to put down our money and bet on who shall be the victor.
My money's not on Mike winning this week, because Mike's here, so I think we'll try and pit you against the audience again this time, because we've got enough people in the Discord that we can maybe pull this off. We'll give it a wee bash.
This is a good throwback to the days of you hosting the quiz. It's nostalgic.
It is. It is indeed. But I'm going to take on Mike's format, because Mike's format is working, so we'll just run with Mike's format for now. So we've got two games where I'll give you descriptions and you can try and guess, and the last one I'll give you a game title and you've got to try and guess the year. So I'm going to kick off straight away with the very first game. So this game was published by Konami in 1991 for the SNES.
Konami, did you say? Super Ghouls and Ghosts? Yeah.
It is not Super Ghouls and Ghosts. I'll see if anybody types in the chat room. I don't see anything there. Oh, here we go. We've got one guest coming in. It is not Turtles in Time. All right, let's move on. Let's give you... It was an action-adventure game, loosely set in Japan. Had RPG elements.
Syndicate? No, not... I've shot my chance there.
This is so much fun being on this side of it. Okay, it was the first in a series. It had a sequel on the N64. And I think there's a third one, actually, but I can't see what platform it was on. There's been released on the SNES, the Game Boy, the Wii, the Wii U, and the 3DS.
Okay, that helps narrow it down. I think what's been out on the 3DS? They've released a couple games for that thing. I should be able to figure this out. a boy in his blob?
It is not a boy in his blob. The main character, I think, off the top of my head, is called Goemon. G-O-E-M-O-N.
Sorry, I've got nothing
fights,
for you.
Fights across stages known as Warlock Zones and learns special judo attacks, plays mini games, and earns money.
Strider? It's not Strider.
It's not Strider, no. And Moxie in the chat room has guessed Castlevania. It's not Castlevania either. Would you like me to put you out of your misery, or shall I keep going with...
One more.
One more, right? Let me see if I can find one more. Let me see. So the plot is minimal, except for revealing future. I'm reading here.
You're learning
as we
fly.
Go. Yeah, I played the game, but it was a long, long time ago. In the game, you control Goemon and Ebisumaru. You notice some odd occurrences in your home time of Odio involving a ghost woman at the local temple and ghost animals that come from the temple at night.
No idea, sadly. We've got some furious time.
We've got a chat. It's not Vendetta, no. We'll see if one more one comes in. And I'll put you out of your misery.
Does it have a man with a gun on the cover?
It does not have a man with a gun.
Okay,
the game is The Legend of the Mystical Ninja. In fact, I've talked about it in the podcast before.
Oh my god. It's been proven I don't listen.
Right, okay. Now, 8-Bit Dan, he did guess it. I think he was typing it as I was gave away, so I'm going to give the audience the point there. So you're one down. Sorry. All right, you might get the next one. So the next one is I won't give you the genre first. So it's a game released by Namco back in 1993.
Sunset Rider?
It's not Sunset Rider, but it is a racing game.
Namco racing game.
Chat room's got it already. They've beaten you to it. It is Ridge Racer. Well done to Moxie.
What year did you say?
1993.
93? Wow.
Yeah,
that
the
early.
Very first one came out in 93. Yeah.
What was that arcade, I presume? I always associate with the PlayStation.
Yeah, it was the arcade one was 93, but the PlayStation one came afterwards, yeah.
Ah, oh, see, my wild guess was going to be Jaguar XJ20, 220.
Ah, well, PlayStation 1 came out in 1994, so it was only a year later.
Ah, I suppose so. I was always thinking 95 for that. Nevertheless, the chat has been beat already. Shall we do one final one?
2-0. Let's see if you can reclaim some
dignity.
Dignity, thank you. The word is not coming, which has failed me and makes me look atrocious. So this last round, I will give you the name of a game and you just have to either guess or tell me if you already know what year it came out in. So this game is The Attack of the Mutant Camels.
See, with weird games like this, I'm either like, all right, is it a kooky indie game or a 14-year-old making it on their Spectrum in the 80s? I'm going to go for cute indie game and go with 2010.
I'm afraid the chat room has beaten you yet again. It was 1983. So it is a complete whitewash. Not whitewash. What is it looking for? Washout?
Let's just call it failure.
You've been beaten, my friend. Yeah, you've been roundly trounced. So well done, chat room, for taking part in beating Anton. He is very difficult to beat. Take it from me. I have failed many, many times.
But with that, I guess if we haven't mentioned already, you can get the full list on our website, so we won't go into all of the details. But if you become one of our lovely patrons, as much, I believe, as $2 a month upwards, you get access to live shows and Last Call, which we'll be recording after that, live, of course. But, you know, We won't go on too much. We've got a full list on our website at nsukp.co.uk, where you can learn about our Patreon. You can see some snippets of fun bits from our other podcasts episodes. Get to see our faces, learn a little bit about us, and generally just explore. You can search. There's tons of fun stuff over there.
There is indeed. We also have all the usual social stuff. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we've got email, which is just podcast@nsukp.co.uk. Anywhere else people can find us, Anton?
I think literally our most prevalent social media is Twitter at nsukpodcast. We do like to tweet a little bit, and I guess it's until next time, isn't it?
It is. Until next time, thank you very much for listening to us. We will be back in your ear holes next week, hopefully with Mike, but that entirely depends on how a small person is coping into the world. So from me, cheerio.
Au revoir.